This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Daryl brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Hello, Daryl.
We hear that you're in a bit of a mood. Is that correct?
Real cranky today was the intel we got.
Who said that?
That's Mac Robinson.
Yeah, right there. I'm looking at him right there.
Yeah, well, consider your source, get better sources.
Okay, all right. We didn't believe it.
I said not Daryl.
Not Daryl, not the draft's over. It's a hump day. Nobody loves hump day more than Daryl Ryder. And we said, we saw him at the, you guys were putting on a show, you and Padone this weekend from the convention. I said, no, not our Daryl Ryder. And then he just was like, wait and see.
I knew it was fake news the moment I heard it, Daryl.
The sun is out. It's a gorgeous spring day.
How's that smoker working out for you?
I'm going to find out here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Try and fire
there
it
we
up.
Go. Tomorrow's the first day of the getting? Smoker. All right.
We are going to get some pork loin.
Oh, pork loin. Okay, nice. And pork is the most favorable of all the things to start with. Like chicken, you got poultry, you got a brine, or even do like a dry brine. Brisket can be pretty temperamental. I think you're starting with pork is a very, you've heard some good advice along the way.
When you speak, I pay attention, Nick.
Daryl, obviously I owe you the amount of a burger. Within a burger bet.
Now, you notice that? An amount of a burger? I'm just going to buy you and me burgers?
I don't know how this works. Did you want me to, like bring you the burger on a platter the next time you host? I don't know when this works.
What, you can't be seen in public with me or so? I mean, I took Nick to get his burger.
I'm not.
Can't do that? You're too big for that?
Not too big for that. I have a daughter I spend my free time with. If my daughter can come with us, maybe in the morning we all go get burgers. You want to do that?
I actually kind of like that idea because I will just chill with Charlotte anytime. So absolutely.
We're cleaning out one of the rooms upstairs, Daryl. I have a bunch of bobbleheads. Will you take the burger payment in form of bobbleheads?
If I don't have said bobbleheads, sure. Why don't you send me the catalog of what you have?
I'm going to send you over photos, and then you get the values worth and go higher for yourself. Don't be scared now. Instead of me just getting a burger gift certificate.
This is the actions of a coward. You just
not coward.
Your ego won't let you just buy us burgers.
It's not.
And see
it's
the
not
satisfaction
an ego
on our face.
Oh,
as
is,
we
that,
eat
is that the fun part of the burger bet? Is like
oh
you
my
like
God.
Seeing you like, oh, it's so juicy. It's so good.
Doing the vinegar strokes while you and me are sitting here, and you get to see in the window of my soul.
You're right. I don't want to give you guys that satisfaction.
Yeah. I knew it.
No chance.
I knew it.
Not in the name of everything that is holy, Shador Sanders. Not doing it. Mm. You see him helping out kids at schools today. He's running hills in Akron. He is going to Crocker Park. If I have like a my wife has like the Find My Phone so she can see where I'm at any given part of the day.
Yeah.
Like I'm like a Sims character. I feel like that's what we have with Shador Sanders now. I know everything that Shador has done in the 24 hours he's been here.
I just like the fact that your wife stalks your Find My
she
iPhone
does.
So she knows where you're at.
She's worried about him stalking Shador.
She does, yeah. That's how we get even, is she stalks me and I stalk Shador. It's okay.
Okay. All right. That's not creepy or anything, but okay.
Daryl, Brian Baldinger was on the morning show today with the Mona Boz, and he said he doesn't understand the Browns' plan.
He's not the only one.
Okay, so I'll ask you, do you understand the Browns' plan, and does it matter if you don't?
It doesn't matter if I don't, but no, I don't understand the plan. No, I don't. other than I can't criticize it, Nick, because they're kind of doing exactly what I said they should do, and that's just kind of throw some stuff against the wall and hope something sticks. So while I don't understand the plan, I can't criticize what they're doing because they're doing exactly what I said they should.
That was the phrasing. That's how you used it. Throwing things against the wall was that was the out for you getting right in this whole entire stretch. Yeah.
Now, which one of the times did you say that? I kind of feel like
Shador fell so far from like top 10 all the way down to 144. Nick, I kind of feel like we should get 2 and 3 burgers out of this thing. I mean, it wasn't even close.
You're not getting two or three burgers.
I just like that you already shoehorned yourself into a bet that had nothing to do with you. You're getting a free burger, and now you're like, I think me and Nick should get multiple burgers here.
Now, what is funny about it is I was contemplating giving you a higher value than Nick in a gift certificate and just seeing what you guys did with that information. Like, maybe you get a $20 gift certificate and give Nick like a $15 one, maybe a $10 one. And just be like, I didn't say what the cost of the burger was. Just is what it is.
Thought Daryl might go to a more fancy burger joint. So overall, I think JP and I think this draft is the bridge to next year's draft. I think they put some good players out there, but I don't think they fixed the team in any way. I don't feel like they're dramatically better than they were 3 months ago between free agency and draft. Right. And yet, Shador's getting all the publicity here. What do you think of just the 1 through 7 of the 7 picks they made? What do you think of the draft that they actually had?
Well, I mean, outside of them drafting Dylan Gabriel with that 94th pick, I think it was a pretty outstanding draft on the surface. I love the Mason Graham pick. I know you're going to have Mason on at 6 o'clock. I thought he was the best defensive tackle in the draft. Pairing him next to Myles Garrett, in my estimation, is more valuable than having a bookend defensive end, because now you can overload one side of the line and rest in peace to every offensive line that tries to slow that up. I like Schlesinger, the second round pick. The fact that they got Junkins a couple picks right after that. I wanted one of the Ohio State running backs, so big fan of that selection. Fannin from Bowling Green, I thought that was another outstanding pick to address a specific need. I found the selection of Dylan Sampson a little curious, the running back from Tennessee. But I think, if anything, that just telegraphed what we already knew, and that is the odds of Nick Chubb returning to this football team are getting slimmer and slimmer as the days go on. And then with the Shador selection trading up to 144, again, he's still on the board. You're just trying to, you know, hope you can find lightning in a bottle here. So can't really criticize that. And as we're already seeing, he's great for business, right? As you guys were talking about, everyone's kind of following his every move on social media. He's the top-selling jersey of this draft class right now in the National Football League. So he's great for, you know, Jimmy Haslam loves those numbers when the jerseys are flying off the shelves. So, it's real hard for me to criticize this draft class that Andrew Berry came away with. I thought he did a fairly good job.
Yeah, there's a couple question marks, obviously wide receiver, offensive line, but I want to focus on wide receiver for a second. Browns get Deontay Johnson. We can talk about him. There's also Isaiah Bond that is out there and a potential undrafted free agent. He comes with some problems. That's obviously what made him fall from what was supposed to be a mid-round pick to then out of the draft completely. How many guys like that do you feel like the Browns can take a chance on? Should they be, if they take Deontay Johnson, are they then out on someone like Isaiah Bond? Or is this just going to be a place that just tries to take chances on guys with maybe some question marks?
Yeah, I don't like question marks. It's one of Andrew Berry's blind spots in my estimation. You can't sit up there at press conferences and tell us how much the person matters, and then you bring in guys like that. You can't do that. You lose all sense of credibility. And this is not a culture that can withstand that. The Browns don't have a good culture. This just in. They never have. And you can't be bringing in problem children and expecting that you're not going to have any problems. We saw that last year. So, and we've seen it in years past. I'm not a fan of bringing in guys with red flags all over them like this. Again, Kevin Stefanski's not a coach that deals with big personalities very well. See what happened between Odell and Baker Mayfield, and what a catastrophe that whole situation turned into. So I don't know why Andrew Berry keeps going down this road. It is It is one of my biggest complaints of him as the general manager of this football team is he continues to bring bad dudes into the locker room, and there's absolutely no positive return on that investment.
Daryl, looking to the quarterback room, it seems like everybody fits Kevin Stefanski's system, so can we grade him this year accurately, fairly, based off the production of the quarterback room?
Yeah, I mean, look at the quarterback room. Really? You really expect that room to take you somewhere this year?
I mean, they all fit Kevin Stefanski more than Deshaun Watson or Baker Mayfield did, and that seems to be the whoopee for Kevin Stefanski. In fairness, he seems to have the most success with the limited talent guys because they can't do anything other than just do what he says.
Right. No, I mean, that is fair, and you know, that was the biggest thing I think that had JP over there all aboard the Shador train was the fact that you know, he fits so well with Kevin Stefanski, right? You know, I'm taller than Dylan Gabriel, okay? that's not a compliment. I think Baker Mayfield's taller than Dylan Gabriel.
Who else is taller?
You
got
are.
A running list.
Yeah, you are. I am.
Well, I'm taller than Shador. I'm taller than everybody not named Joe Flacco. I get a real win here, okay?
Extra burger for Nick.
I do need a photo of you standing next to Dylan Gabriel. Like, I need air to breathe. I need that photo, Nick.
Does that didn't look like Altuve?
I want it to be comical how much larger of a person you are than him.
Who is the mountain of a human being next to the small child? Oh, that's Afternoon Drive host Nick Wilson.
It'd be the perfect 10 photo right there.
Daryl, do you feel like the fact that you said constantly throughout this interview then you really liked Andrew Berry's draft then? Do you feel like the Shador conversation has overtaken the idea that Andrew Berry did have a really nice draft?
Here's my take on the whole Shador situation. If it works out, fantastic. Browns hit the lottery. And if it doesn't work out, so what? Just like the conversation about who made the pick. You know, did Jimmy Haslam have any influence? I've been told no, but that's not exactly what I believe. But who cares? It's the 144th pick, fifth round pick. And you're taking a stab in the dark here. You give Kevin and the coaching staff some time with Shador. Maybe they can make a little something out of that. But if it doesn't work out, it's not like they spent the second overall pick in the draft on the kid. I'm not going to criticize him if it doesn't work out with Shador. I probably will with Dylan Gabriel because you spent a third-round pick, 94th overall, when you had other needs like wide receiver and offensive line and maybe some secondary help too. I'm not all caught up in the Shador Sanders is going to make or break the success of this particular draft class. He's the seventh member of a seven-member class. I will say this, though. You got seven players in the top 150 of a draft. You better have some home runs in there.
Daryl, real quick, we get about 30 seconds here. Yep. Who starts the most games at quarterback for the Browns this year?
Oh.
That's not an answer.
I know. you got me on the hot seat with that one.
Just say great question.
Great question.
There you go.
You know what? Just because I feel like throwing a grenade on your fire here, I'm going to say Shador Sanders.
Okay.
Right. Makes sense to me, Daryl.
Daryl?
Not the reaction I was looking for
makes
there,
sense,
Nick. But
makes
okay.
sense to me.
That's okay. That's fine.
Nick's pretty used to someone saying Shador's going to play a lot of football
I know,
this year.
If you were going for shock
that's not,
value,
that's not really uncommon.
You should have been like Bernie Kosar.
by the way.
Brian Sipe.
Was I grumpy enough for you today?
To Mac. We told Mac all the time. You're in great spirits.
You seem like you're in a great mood today. I don't know
fantastic
what
fantastic mood.
I don't know what Mac was picking up on.
Maybe Mac's a little jealous about the burgers there. Daryl, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
You bet, guys. Have a good week.
Thanks, Daryl.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by
Nice Try Fatty.
Scheiben Jewelers. Took him all that time to get that one in there. Cleveland's Premier Jewelry Store. We'll react to what Daryl had to say. And with or without Nick Chubb, it can still be accomplished. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I don't know what to believe in the Nick Chubb stuff on whether he will come back, whether he won't. It stands to reason that you've got three running backs there, and I don't know it'd be exactly fair to bring Nick Chubb back to Quinshon Judkins, to Samson, or to Jerome Ford. I also think there are only so many touches that go around. But it's not as if, like, Nick Chubb is – it's not as if anybody's knocking down his door and offering him the moon. So yeah. I don't know there would be this great expense if they do bring Nick Chubb back.
I mean, if you brought him back, it would just be with the idea that he's just a good locker room guy and he's good to be around.
I mean, you got to bring him out to smash the guitar.
Might as well. He's like, at least he's 10 feet away. We can just have him do that. It reminds me of the quarterback situation in many respects, where as much as I like Nick Chubb, if this year isn't about trying to figure out anything but who can be on the team for 2026 and who actually has something, shouldn't I want as many carries as possible go to Judkins and Samson?
Yeah, and also, if you're Nick, like, you, I don't know that being in a backfield with three young running backs makes any sense for you, because you need to show some semblance. If all you can do is, if all you are is a five-carry-a-guy game, those guys are a lot younger guys that are a lot cheaper that can do that same job at 4 yards per carry.
Well, and at that point, we might as well just make you one of the ambassadors to the team, right? And just, like, call it what it is. It's like a figurehead role more than it is a we need you to be productive role. And Nick Chubb doesn't want that. And I don't think Nick Chubb deserves that.
And I also, like, guys, I'll go back on this and I'll continue to say this. Watch the last three games. He was pretty decent. Like, he wasn't Nick Chubb yet. But, like, if you look at the first three games and the last three games he played before the foot injury last year, there was some really good stuff. And just in terms of how he was moving, I think...
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we started together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I think there's a role out there in the NFL, or at least there should be, where he can showcase himself a little bit more here, because it wouldn't make sense. Like, we harp a lot about rookie contracts with quarterbacks,
yeah,
and how the goal is in those 5 years, it allows you freedom to go ahead and spend elsewhere because the quarterback is on a fixed cost. Same principle with young running backs. Like, young running backs are at such a premium if they're good enough to be part, even if it's just part of a triumvirate, even if it's just part of some sort of a three-way position there. Whatever it is, because those dudes are on such affordable contracts when they're young, that it almost wouldn't make sense to then have Nick Chubb, even on the vet min, which is still inflated from what, like, a rookie minimum is.
Well, what they always told us, because you mentioned, like, the final three games and how you thought he was looking a little bit better, they always told us that year two coming off that big injury was going to be the better year. So if the Browns wanted to bank on that, maybe. I want to give the opportunities to Judkins and Samson instead.
I just, okay.
Is that an unpopular take? Like, I'm ready to be done with Nick Chubb right now?
I would imagine it's unpopular, yeah.
Like, I'm okay. I think it's the best interest for him. I think it's the best interest for the Browns.
Okay. I don't want Nick back if it's in a ceremonial role, because I think he deserves a chance to prove he's more than that. And now, granted, like, the way this works is they might intend for him to be a ceremonial role, and then if he's just better than everyone else, I mean, you'd be just dumb not to put him out there as the workhorse back. But I just think, like, for him, I this is Jamal Lewis at the end in Baltimore. And I've always made the comparison because of Jamal's little stutter step that I loved watching, even though it was with the Ravens. Nick's little gather step, or whatever you want to call it, where he just kind of shimmied and then he was off. Like, so there's the literal Nick Chubb versus Jamal comparison that I've always loved. But now, I mean, I think Nick, if there's a decent chance of winning a job out there, whether it's in as long as it's not Pittsburgh, wherever it is, I think he's got to go do it. And I think it is probably best for the Browns. And I think that's hard to say. I can't say I want it. Like, if they bring him back as a fan, I'm going to love it because I love Nick Chubb. But I'm also, if he signs elsewhere, I'm going to be like, you know what, man, good for Nick. The Browns, I think, got something going here. Let's just let this play out.
I think it'll be a sigh of relief for myself if they let Nick Chubb go play elsewhere, because I feel like he can do something, and I want him to have that opportunity, and he's just blocked right now.
Yeah, and I think
he's blocked.
I think the only way, I think the only way you can screw this running game back up, I think they're going to lean heavily on the running game, and I think they're going to lean maybe as heavy on the running game as they have since, like, Nick and Kareem were getting like 40 carries a game, like where they were just like, at some point it was almost too much running for people around the NFL.
People act like Baker threw the ball a ton. Yeah. The apex of Baker was 28 throws a game.
Yep.
Like, he was not throwing the ball a million times each game.
So I think, provided that the offensive line is healthy, I think the wide zone scheme is going to be, listen, I don't know it's going to be an air attack. I don't know they're going to score a lot of points, but I do think the running game is going to give them a big chance this year. Because that offensive line healthy in the wide zone scheme with young, fresh legs, including two guys. I mean, I don't see the giddy up gear with Quinshon Judkins the way I did with Travion. He ain't slow. And then Samson and Jerome Ford are dudes who can turn 3 yards into 96 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yeah.
In one step.
I like Samson a lot. I liked him even in that playoff game against Ohio State, which was one of the worst games he had, and one of the ones that everyone goes to. It's like, he got to play Ohio State competition and it didn't go well. But going into that game, it was just like everyone was focused on Nico, and then everyone's like, oh yeah, you got to focus on the offensive SEC offensive player of the year at running back. Like, he's the type of player that just did so well from a numbers perspective. You're like, until I see him not do it at the NFL level, I won't believe that he can't.
And I love the speed. I think Samson and Shador are the same iteration of each other, just at different positions. Like, I think when Samson was there in the middle of the fourth round, they went, there's no way we can't draft this kid. And I feel like they did the same thing with Shador. It was like, I mean, at this point, we'd be dumb to not take him.
Well, I think Gabriel falls in line with that too, where those are three players individually that basically wrecked college football from a numbers perspective and from what they were able to do against the competition that they played, and it's just what will translate to the NFL and what won't.
But I think whether it's with or without Nick Chubb, and we got James on Twitter saying Chubb could lead the league in rushing if given the chance. I think if a lot of teams felt that way, Nick would already have a job.
Listen, it's not an accident as to why he's posting the workout videos that he's posting. Clearly, people aren't calling, and he understands that he needs to drum up some interest. By the way,
I thought it was just because it was April. I feel well, like that's usually with Nick in April, we get the workout videos.
Video worked for me.
Was it the jumping? It's ridiculous heights?
Well, you know what my thought was when he posted the video where he literally jumps like to the ceiling from like a standing motion, and then he lands and continues to hop like a bunny? We're not the same species.
No.
I couldn't even dream of doing something like that. How are we the same species?
When I was 275 pounds and going out for shot put in high school, and they did the box jump, I remember I hit like a 30-inch vert, and I remember thinking like, I'm a god.
Yeah.
I watch these dudes jump 10 feet in the air, and I'm like, I am nothing. Granted, I couldn't jump 30 inches now if I tried. My point is, I remember box jumping and being good at it at a heavier weight and thinking I was something because I went to a PCL school, and then every video out there with dudes jumping over cars and all this stuff, I'm like, man, I really was not bleep. I will never be bleep.
I mean, he's like at the end of Forrest Gump, Lieutenant Dan's got new legs. Like, where did this Nick Chubb come from?
Now, here's the thing. I don't know that the NFL believes that. I still believe in Nick Chubb. But I don't know he's going to get the opportunities he needs here. And I think that's we're in this weird crossroads of, I want what's best for that dude, because I don't know if he can lead the league in rushing. Do I think he can still be a 1,000-yard back in the NFL at this point in his career? It's a ridiculously small sample size. I'll believe the tape that I saw those last three games, knowing that year two is supposed to be the better year coming off that injury.
I have a hard time thinking he'll get there, but maybe he will surprise a lot of people. I want to give him the chance, but I don't want to give him the chance here and then feel like he's roadblocking the two guys we just took.
I mean, if he ran for 13, I mean, we'll throw something out there that feels extravagant. If he ran for 1,300 yards this year, no matter if they won 3 games or 10 games, none of us are going to give a rip about the young running back. So, right? Just as a devil's advocate,
if he ran
there
for 1,300 yards, but I mean, I think
what if he ran for 1,000 at 5 yards per carry?
Well, it's an incredible season. That's a Pro Bowl season. I don't think anybody's mad at that.
But I
think the expectation cannot be that he's going to have a 1,000-yard season.
I mean, I think if you bring him back, it's because you think he can still be a focal point or somewhere in there of your running game. If you're the Browns? Specifically, if you're the Browns.
Oh, no, I think they're looking at it like it's Judkins, it's Samson, and then if you bring back Nick Chubb, it's a couple carries here and there.
I mean, it's not a fit.
That's why it's not. That's why I don't know that many people are suggesting it is a fit. That's why I think we all thought that it's dead on. It's basically dead now.
I still don't know it's dead. I don't know. This is the beauty of the Browns. The plan is so much bigger than people realize. It's not just about 2025. I mean, listen. If you brought back Joe Flacco in part for fan service, there's no greater fan service you could provide Browns fans than Nick Chubb.
For sure. Well, and again, if Chubb was able to be a 1,000-yard guy, then there's no telling you how long he could actually do it for. Because he'd be starting to beat Father Time. So you could put him in the plans for not just next year, but the year beyond that and the year beyond that. That would be something that I don't think any NFL team would even come close to expecting.
I think that's probably the number one reason why they won't do it. Because they realize if Nick Chubb, who is superhuman, comes back this year, and he a 1,200-yard season, you know you're going to have to re-sign him.
We have to play him until like the wheels legitimately do fall off.
And then if you get two more years down the road,
75-year-old Nick Chubb out there churning out 4 yards a carry and still playing him.
And Quinshon and Samson still have not been consistent players. You will to some degree have wasted those picks. So I agree. Like, it's funny. Like, I don't have like a definitive take on the Nick Chubb stuff. I still think he can play. I don't think there's the role there. I can understand if they're afraid of what he can do and what he might block those young playing time. At the same point, I want what's best for him. I want him to get a chance where whatever the best chance is in the NFL, not in Pittsburgh or Baltimore, for him to get a chance to run for 1,000 yards this year, that's where I want him at.
A contender in the NFC would be really nice for him.
Yeah, I think a contender in the NFC would be really nice for us. I think a contender in general, I wouldn't even hate Kansas City. Pacheco's a nice player. They've got a bunch of nice – they don't have a Nick Chubb. But they don't have a guy with a resume of Nick Chubb. Got a guy on a resume of Kareem Hunt. That's a different resume. 216-474-0092. As we have this conversation, how many wins does a good running game get you this year of the Cleveland Browns? I don't know if it gets you a lot more wins than not, but I think it gives you a chance off. It's not just going to put it all on the passing game. And another draft prank call, none of the controversy. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Drew Rosenhaus actually tweeted out about this and saying we saw right through it. And then, of course, a pick later, Abdul Carter is drafted by the Cleveland Browns or by the New York Giants. And yet, no one's calling for anyone to get fired with this one.
Well, and so we're going to have to talk to – when we talk to Mason, we're going to have to ask him because I saw a rumor out there that he got prank called as well.
I did not see that.
And so that would obviously be something we bring up at 6 o'clock with him. I mean, I saw the footage in between the breaks. I shouldn't say it's a rumor. Like, it exists out there. And they tried telling him that they're claiming it was a Bucks fan that claimed to be Kevin Stefanski. So if he actually ended up being, like, the
actually,
right team.
Like, random Floridian, like, good-looking young Floridian. Yeah, that could be Kevin Stefanski. All you have to be with Kevin is just be low key.
So the bad part here, and there's a couple of different places that have the transcript for me, so I can just kind of read it off a little bit. The Bucks fan goes, "This is Kevin Stefanski. You want to be a Brown buddy?" And he's like, "Yes, sir." Like, you can tell Mason gets into it, and the Bucks fan then just calls him a bunch of curse words and calls him a clown, and then kind of hangs up.
Oh,
it's not funny at that.
I felt this way about the Jax Ulbrich thing. It's like none of this would like. My biggest issue with all of this is that you did this, you got your pops in trouble, which we'll get to in a second, and then none of it was funny.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm just going to curse. Well, in the case of this guy with Mason Graham, just a dude cursing at you. Like, what's there's nothing clever about that. The most clever thing was you totally betrayed your father's trust, at least in the Jax Ulbrich thing. Like, that's, I don't know, I just continue to come back to this. And listen, the NFL put out the fines today. For $250,000 for the Falcons and Jeff Ulbrich, another $100,000 for Security League. Now, don't cry for me, Argentina. The guy makes $1.6 million a year as the defensive coordinator for Atlanta. I just think this was a massive overreaction. The more we continue to unpeel this, like Shador wasn't a victim. If this had been anybody else that he had pranked, Jax Ulbrich, we're not talking about a $250,000 fine for the team and $100,000 for his dad. It was all because it was Shador. He had a camera crew there.
Yeah.
And because everybody knew Shador was in the midst. The most incendiary player in this draft, from just a coverage standpoint, was the guy he chose. That's where maybe this is the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah, I still don't know where I stand with the prank call situation. How did the NFL let all of these people get access to these numbers?
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't it be a little bit harder? And even like, you're like, oh, he's the DC of the Falcons. Why does the DC of the Falcons have access to this?
Yeah, well, and
what does he need that
apparently
for?
Apparently only the head coach is supposed to have access to this.
And that makes sense, right? Like, maybe even the head coach, or maybe just whoever the head coach's assistant is, just to make sure that it's just like just one person, the person that's going to call, that's their job and that's it, and that's the only person that needs to have their number.
I mean, in fairness, this is a you made us look bad fine.
That's kind of what it feels
nobody
like.
Nobody got doxxed here. And honestly, I don't even know if we don't have the video, no matter what the circumstances is with the NFL, the video always makes it worse. So the fact that we, even though it wasn't Jack Solbrick that actually made the call, it was his friend, I guess. But like,
yeah, it was. Yeah.
The reality is, like, the video always makes it worse. But I just, the overreactions from this that I've seen, people comparing it to like it's confidentiality, and this is you know, if you're a doctor and this happens, you get fired. It's not a doctor. He's not a doctor. There's no Hippocratic oath involved with being an NFL defensive coordinator.
The funny part about it to me is the people that are like, oh, you shouldn't mess with people's emotions and you shouldn't do that, and it's like, okay, I can play with that, but for a second, Shador Sanders was like, his head was in a little bit of a bind, and he was like, what's happening? Like, for a second. You know the amount of hate that Shador Sanders has gotten in his life? Like, if anybody could withstand being prank called and having a second of like, oh, am I drafted to this team or not? It's probably him. He's like as mentally ready as anybody. And all these players are, because they've heard it all. They've been through the ringer. There's nothing that emotionally killed him that day.
I'm so glad you pointed that out, because you know, people are like, well, what if this happened to you and your dream job? I was like, I don't know. Did I get my dream job 3 days later?
Right. Did I also still get my dream job?
There was no harassment here other than like light, like, oh, hey, I teased you. Again, I'm here to tell you, none of these prank calls were funny.
No, but it's really funny to think about, though. Like, what if, like, when I was going for this job, or when you were going for this job, if, like, Mac had called us up and prank called him and been like, you got the afternoon show, it's Keith, we love you, and we want you to have this job. And then we're like, oh, okay, Mac, you just mess with us.
Yeah.
But then an hour later, Keith is like, hey, so yeah, we want you to have the job. It's like, well, I'm so far beyond Mac's prank call then.
Also, 5 minutes later, I'm laughing about this. I've gotten prank called about things that are fairly important, and I've laughed about it five minutes later. Like, wow, that was dumb.
Fairly unimportant too. I was thinking about it. Like, did you also get prank called in like seventh, eighth, ninth grade? You used to be all sorts of prank calls. Anytime girls would have like a sleepover or something, they'd all collectively call. You'd have that happen. Do you have that happen?
Yeah, I also was one of the prank callers.
We've both been on both ends of this, right?
Yeah.
And like, sometimes you call, sometimes you're the person that gets called. It's just the thing that happens.
Yeah, when the marching band went to Disney in high school,
what was the debate about marching band and Baskin and Phelps today?
I can't remember. It was 10 good minutes of that show, though. But I definitely found whatever room the girl that I liked was in, and definitely pranked her a bunch. And she had a great sense of humor, so it was great. It felt like I might have a chance. Never had a chance. But the point is, I also, when my grandpa first got with my grandma Penny, I was like 11 years old maybe, and I definitely left a call pretending to be a voice message, pretending to be Nigel Bixley. Of the the PPIA, which would be a certain pump, Institute of America.
And you have an 11-year-old voice, and people like, you thought you were so smooth.
And a bad English accent.
Nigel Bixley doesn't have a great one. Tom, he just has a good one.
Tom, we got your order here, and we're going to send it your way. And of course, as you know, our pumps are here for...
You know your grandma and grandpa called your parents and were like, this kid's just special. Fanta style, you're just special.
You guys are special.
Here's the funny thing. I don't know. I never heard about it. So I don't know my grandpa ever called anyone. I think my grandpa might have just chuckled at it, deleted it, and moved on. Because my parents would not have gotten mad at me about this. My dad would have been slightly proud. But I would have heard about it. My dad and I never kept secrets. We never. It was always like if my grandpa had called
maybe
my dad.
You're also 11. Maybe he wanted you to think that Nigel Bixley was working.
he didn't want to kill the dream.
Like, Nigel Bixley was awesome, and you need to keep doing that.
But I just like I James Palmer had tweeted out today, like, no repercussions for Jax Ulbrich. Did you want them to cane him in public like he was in Thailand?
Was he supposed to be kicked off of the Ole Miss football team? Is that what was supposed to happen?
This has all just gotten way too much in the way people talk about this. Like, granted, guys, you know, when we talk about things like data breaches, okay, it wasn't put online.
Well, also, when you call it a data breach, it makes it sound like it's like CIA, like it's a federal government.
It's Mission Impossible.
Yeah, he just went in his dad's laptop. It wasn't hard.
And here's the other thing. Like, I get why they fined him. This is an optics fine. But, like, the idea of people are like, he should have closed his laptop. It's at home, Jack. You're in the confines of your home. Why is it so hard for people to just have, and it's not even just pragmatism. It's just think of other human beings who they don't know in a situation that gets out of hand like this as human beings. The most human being thing in the world is, hey, I got to go get another cup of coffee. I'm going to walk into another room and leave my laptop open because I'm in the middle of doing work. I do it literally every day. Every day. Now, granted, I don't have sensitive ratings. Number one, by the way. The sensitive ratings stuff on my... I don't have any proprietary stuff, but there was a time where I did. Like, I worked for a software company that had proprietary information on my computer that I would take home and work on. And if my daughter had spilled coffee or if she had done something or entered something in, they would have been like, hey, what the hell happened here? And then it would have been, oh, yeah, 4-year-old. Oh, you're fine. That's cool. But, like, there's just, we take it to, like, the highest level. Like it's state secrets in some sort of group chat. Guys, you cared more about the Shador Sanders, the number leak, than we have actual intelligence being shared in improper ways in America. That's the reaction we had on Shador Sanders.
Because his feelings got hurt for 3 seconds. I can't even confirm that his feelings got hurt because he didn't seem like it actually did.
I don't think he gives a rip about it.
I don't think he cared at all. I really don't.
The lead coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.